Moncrief on News Talk.
There are few enough things on TV nowadays that the entire family can watch, and if only the Irish team management had thought to practice penalties, an opportunity could have come this summer with the World Cup, something that the child and adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nochter mourns in today's Examiner. Good afternoon, Colman.
Afternoon, Sean.
It is an awful shame that we didn't qualify. I suppose kids got a little bit of a sense of what it might have been like when, you know, we kind of unexpectedly reached a playoff position.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, the reason I wrote the column was it was just so fresh in my mind of my own childhood memories of it. And then obviously having three children of a similar age and seeing, I suppose, the excitement when we beat Hungary and Portugal and, you know, getting through the dramatic kind of end of that. And then that anticipation and seeing all the TV ads about Troy Parrott and America and all that sort of stuff when we were looking forward to it. I suppose there's a mixed feeling of enjoying the World Cup, but just devastated that we're missing out on that. And I was thinking, like, when, like, say Euro 88, Italia 90 and 94, I was like 9, 11 and 16 when those things happened. So you just got so many good memories of that time that there is a generation of children who won't experience that. And I was trying to explain to my son what that was like and how the country came to a standstill and all that sort of stuff. But maybe just a bit of disappointment that they were probably going to go through their teenage years without having that experience.
Yeah, I suppose the difference between then and now is that even if we had, would families sit down to watch it together, or would they be all in their own bedrooms watching it, maybe occasionally shouting at each other if something exciting happened?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's an interesting, I mean, I think generally, and I speak for my own account, like trying to get a movie night on a Saturday night is the Good Friday Agreement would be easier. Do you know what I mean? Trying to get them all into the one room to do that. And I think, like, television used to be a communal experience where people would sit down to watch maybe X Factor or something that was on at a kind of ritual time. And sport is one of those things that you can't binge watch. You can't watch ahead. So everything happens within that time. So it does force people into that communal collective experience, and I genuinely think there's something wonderful about sharing that experience, you know, in a live event like that. And it's just, I think, because family watching has become so fragmented, there's something nice about that. And like, even just the other night, we were all sitting watching Uruguay and Cape Verde and Pico Lopez from you know, there was a real, we started watching it and we were cheering every tackle that he made, and it just felt nice in a kind of a nostalgic way, if that makes any sense, because it's probably not something that we do nearly enough, I guess.
Because I suppose that the thing about the memories you have and the memories a lot of people listening would have would not just be the match itself, because you probably only, you know, you kind of remember the highlights. You remember a particular goal or a set of penalties and that kind of stuff. But you probably also, what people also tend to remember who they were with at the time and how other people reacted.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much more about the experience of who you're with rather than the goals themselves. Like, I'm sure, like, most of those occasions, if not all, I was watching with other people. I wasn't sitting at home on my own watching it. Do you know what I mean? And I can remember, like, my 90-year-old grandfather leaping out of the chair when we went 1-0 up against England. Do you know what I mean? Something I'd never seen him do before or since. And, you know, being in Biddy Mulligan's in Edinburgh as a 22-year-old at 7 o'clock in the morning, watching Robbie Keane score against Germany. You know what I mean? It was just the jubilation and that shared experience. And it's something I talk about a lot, Sean, is that we don't have enough shared experiences. Like, there's some stat that, you know, if you're watching a comedian, you're 70% more likely to laugh in the company of another person than just watching it on your phone, where you kind of go, haha. You know, we're underestimating the shared experience of watching, viewing, and even live sporting events. You know, the idea that you'd be hugging some stranger beside you because the final whistle is blown and your team has won. They're kind of unique dynamics that get created within collectives that aren't replicable when you're on your own.
Yeah. Does something happen in your brain when you're in that situation?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of research to suggest that, you know, obviously the shared experience fires off different neurons, I suppose, from the point of view of the shared collective. Do you know what I mean? A kind of a group mentality that it activates parts of your well-being. And again, I think, not to go too big on this, but like loneliness is a big problem that I see in the clinical room. And it's that we're not gathering in spaces in real life together, that oxytocin of the shared experience of something good and the shared experience of something bad. Do you know what I mean? I'm an Irish rugby fan, and every quarter final that we think we're going to get through, you know, you depend on a shoulder of somebody else to kind of share the misery of that experience as well. And I guess it's, there's definitely something in the shared experience that isn't replicable, you know. And, you know, I think like if we, you and I saw, you know, somebody together, we might tell that story 100 times over. Whereas if I saw somebody famous on my own, I might tell it a couple of times. Do you know what I mean? It's, there's a whole process of dynamic that happens when an experience is shared, you know.
Is it, could we do it now, though, given that we're not in it and we don't have the same emotional investment in it?
Yeah, I think there's, we have to find a cause to join in on. And traditionally, that's been whoever is playing England. It tends to be the thing we come together on. But like even in this World Cup, if we had like Cape Verde, I think has become everyone's second team. I think probably a lot of people have an affiliation with the Scots, maybe as Celtic partners that they're, you know, but if we have some sort of, again, shared interest in it, I still think we can enjoy the, because it's a wonderful spectacle, and it's a series of weeks where you're getting these things every 3 or 4 days, your team is playing and there's all that sort of stuff. And while, of course, it's going to be a diluted version of if Ireland were there, I still think there's something to be gained from it. And I know from my own family, like we've become quite invested in the minnows, you know, watching those on the kind of underdog teams do well. And you know, this World Cup has kind of thrown up some of those surprise things like Cape Verde. And they're wonderful experiences. There's still things we can come together on for sure.
Yeah. And probably people be better off following Cape Verde than Scotland at the moment. I'm afraid that hasn't gone so well. Unless they suddenly defeat Brazil in their next match, which, you know, fingers crossed, it might happen, all right. It's kind of depressing that we need something as dramatic as that to bring people together. There aren't even smaller examples. Because, I mean, you know, when, you remember when The X Factor was popular on TV? Families would watch that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you become invested in a certain contestant and you want them to do well and they're making it into the next round and all of that sort of stuff. Like, they're supporting. And I think that happens in terms of teams as well, in sports teams. Like, oftentimes you'll follow the same team as your dad does. Do you know what I mean? And then you'll have that shared experience of that team doing well or doing not so well. But like the ritualistic thing of TV watching, where there's a series that all the episodes are released at once and you can binge watch them and all that sort of stuff. Whereas if there's something that's coming every week and it's live and it's, you know, building a bit of momentum towards it, I think there's something quite unique and rare and enjoyable in that. And again, I think probably where we're seeing those kind of, and I think we might have talked about this before, but those kind of mildly transcendent experiences are through music gigs. And there's like so many good gigs going on over the summer. Do you know what I mean? We had like Metallica over the weekend and all. But I remember, and again, I didn't get to Oasis, but I have the biggest FOMO of not being at that concert, because anyone who was there was telling me about this kind of unique nostalgic experience that's shared by whatever 80,000 people who were at it, and something that almost was beyond words. And I just don't know whether we have enough or opportunities for those types of experiences. And I think it would do our collective souls good to have more opportunities to share in some sort of jubilant thing, rather than that kind of individualized you on your screen in your own room, which has become, unfortunately, I think, a feature of our lives, you know.
Coleman, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Coleman Nocter there, a child and adolescent psychotherapist. Coleman, thanks a million.
Pleasure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.